As a teacher, Miss Jones was very curious about how each of her students celebrated Christmas. She called on young Patrick Murphy. "Tell me, Patrick, what do you do at Christmas time?" she asked. Patrick addressed the class. "Well, Miss Jones, me and my 12 brothers and sisters go to the midnight mass. We sing hymns, then we come home very late, and we put mince pies by the back door and hang up our stockings. Then all excited, we go to bed and wait for Father Christmas to come with all our toys." "Very nice, Patrick," she said. "Now, Jimmy Brown, what do you do at Christmas?" "Well, Miss Jones, me and my sister also go to church with Mom and Dad, and we sing carols, and we get home ever so late. We put cookies and milk by the chimney, and we hang up our stockings. We hardly sleep, waiting for Santa Claus to bring our presents." Realizing that there was a Jewish boy in the class and not wanting to leave him out of the discussion, she asked, "Now, Isaac, what do you do at Christmas?" Isaac said, "Well, it's the same thing every year. Dad comes home from the office. We all pile into the Rolls Royce. Then we drive to his toy factory. When we get inside, we look at all the empty shelves and begin to sing, 'What a friend we have in Jesus.'" So, now I would like, let's go into prayer. Let's orient ourselves to why we're here. So let's have a word of prayer. We're in a go room. Those of you on the internet miss the excitement this morning. They've painted the room a dark gold, and it's kind of dark walking up the stairs. And they, John said, "Well, he thinks they're opening up a nightclub up here," and they are. They are a nightclub. Do we get church discounts? You're serious? Well, John was serious then. I thought he was kidding. You were serious. They are going to turn us into a club. Man, do we get, like you said, do we get church discounts? All right, we'll do that. Well, people, I just learned that our room is going to be turned into a nightclub and cards and all kinds of things. Maybe I can subsidize my income, come up here, and maybe I can lose everything, too. There's always that side. Always a bad side of that. Well, so it's going to be a nightclub. Well, then no wonder it's dark gold. And then they'll change the lights, put in some chandeliers. This could be pretty interesting. Maybe we can ask them if we can still meet here. clear out the tables, and maybe we can take up our offering. We'll have this group over here can just give us an offering. This group over here can either lose, and they, what they lose, they goes to the church, and what they win, then they come over here and give us an offering. That way the church wins. Okay, we need some Amber. You can be the dealer. Well, like we need and. And Helen be the dealers, and so we'll make it good. Okay. Well, that's interesting then. All right. We're not real sure of our destiny now that the gambling hall's moving in. And I'll try to ask Tony today. Is he back from Hawaii? Do you know he's back? Okay. I think he went to Hawaii when they started painting. Get out of here. And I'll call Tony, and we'll know next Sunday morning, Christmas morning, what our schedule or agenda or whatever it's going to be, and take care of that. But let's begin with a word of prayer, and the purpose of the prayer is to orient ourselves to why we're here. Have we got the, has it doing anything yet? Back there? Back there? It is? Oh, man, we're in good shape. Okay. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do praise you this morning. We thank you for this assembly. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come and open the scriptures, examine them and study them, and let your spirit illuminate the truth to us, that we might see what you would have us to see. We pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, and the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing. Okay, thank you. Don was telling me, I think we talked about it, but just share with y'all, when Wes plays, and you're sitting here on Sunday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, in the evening, it's one experience, but the way it comes through the internet, when you listen to it through the internet, it is just so beautiful, and Wesley is just straight digital into it. And Don, and he said this humorously, but he said, you're sitting here and you're talking and you enjoy it, but if Wes hits the wrong key, nobody knows it here. But boy, on the internet, they pick it all up because it just comes through so beautifully. And he said it is just unbelievable, and he's setting the tone for worship. And I've had other people tell me that in Hot Springs and Temple, Texas, and other places. So, Wes, we just value and thank you very much for playing and being here. You and Sharon, very much. Let's talk about prayer. Brian, please tell the people, last week I had it, but it was in the back of the notes. I picked up the memo that you sent me, but put it in the back of the notes, and I never got that far in teaching. And so give a report. Okay. Okay. Next week. Between Christmas and New Year's? Okay. Okay. All right. Or this coming week, before Christmas? This week. All right. Right now we'll be in prayer. God knows when it's going to happen. So let's be in prayer for the surgeons, and that God will guide their hand, and it will be successful in that respect. And then what's the lady's name? Dana needs our prayers, so let's be in prayer for her and her family, and just what God is doing. We talked about illnesses and what God is doing in regard to illnesses, and so we just need to understand that sometimes it's the person who is sick that he's dealing with, but most often that is not the person God is dealing with. Often it is those that are around the person. Paul became very ill because God wanted him to slow down and write the letters to Galatia. And he would not have slowed down if he had not become ill, and he became ill and therefore wrote the letter that we have, the book of Galatians, the letter of Galatians. So God uses illnesses in so many different ways. Satan uses illnesses for his advantage. And so let's be in prayer. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes. Casey. Oh, my goodness. Wow. How close is she, Amber? This week? Wow. Casey is. Okay. Wow, well, let's be in prayer for Casey and the newborn child. It's just tough being born before Christmas. I've always felt for people born before Christmas. After Christmas, it's a heyday because the parents get all the bargains. All the toys go on sale. Oh, some of my best Christmas birthdays were much better than Christmas. And now that I'm an adult, I know what happened. She just went to all the sales. And but before Christmas, what a bummer. Well, we'll give you a little bit, or we'll combine them. I don't want to combine them. Let's be in prayer for Casey and what's going on in her life, her father. I'm sure it's tumultuous for him. And so be a time for spiritual insight, Amber, to give to her. And so thank you very much. Any other prayer requests? Let's be in prayer for Vic Edwards and his family. And they call and is in request of our prayers. Vic is one of our adamant members in Wichita Falls, Texas. He and his wife and family, or he and his wife, and we're constantly in prayer for his family and all. So let's do that. Be in prayer. What? Yes, Gigi? Good. Yeah. All right. Very good. All right. How's Billy doing? Just stable. Okay. Is he home? Okay. All right. We'll be in prayer. And that's good news on the other prayer. So we just need to be in prayer of what God's going to do, whether we get to stay in the gambling hall or get the move downstairs or what God is going to do. I'm being humorous. And just what God would have us to do and where we would meet in that respect. So the Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth a gracious giver. The gracious giver is one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior and a believer walking in the power of the Spirit. Because that is the giving that is done in love, because the Holy Spirit pours in love. And if we give and there is not love, it profiteth nothing. And if Paul says, if I give all that I own so that I myself become poor, I give to the poor all that I have so that I myself become poor, give everything, in other words, but do not have love, not in the power of the Spirit, it's of nothing. So let's spend a few moments preparing ourselves for the offertory in the power of the Spirit. I love the day in which we live in this respect, that in days gone by, they pass it and everybody had to put the actual money in and that and make up your mind there. But with checks and different things, you get to do this in prayer, in the power of the Spirit, at home, away from here, and just let the Spirit lead and guide in the area of giving. And that's the way that it is designed to be. And so let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we close out this year, we reflect on what you have allowed us to participate in through this year, in the giving out of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer, first through our own assembly, the effect of the truth in our own homes and lives, sharing it with others in our lives, and then Heavenly Father, in the internet and tapes, we're thankful for all those involved in helping getting the message out through the internet, through the tapes, through speaking, publication, missionary activity. You found so many ways, Heavenly Father, to use this humble assembly, and we pray that you will continue to do so. We pray, Father, that we will continue to use our freedom that we do value and we're most appreciative for, that we will cross it with the freedom we have in Christ and use it to the spiritual, invisible dynamics of being in the light. Pray that you will receive the offerings that we're about to give. Continue to use this assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. 91, whatever it is.
Yes, First Noel.
First Noel. Next Sunday is Christmas. I'm going to sing Silent Night next Sunday, and I want to talk about, was it really silent? Was it really a beautiful, wonderful, peaceful night? Or did all hell break loose when God became man? And we'll look at some different passages. And I love the song. I'm not against the song, but it's a little bit misleading that it was just a wonderful night of peace, and everybody was happy, and everyone was just rejoicing, and most of the world didn't even know what was going on, and a lot of it that did were in fear and anger, and so one man wanted to kill him before he was even born, and so let's just we'll save that for a look next Sunday morning. Let's turn this morning to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. Excuse me. Gospel of John, chapter 12. Last week we began looking at the purpose of Christmas. So let's continue that this morning. First of all, word of prayer, the purpose of the prayer is that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to allow us to see what's going on in the text as it applies in the text, and then as it applies to us in our life. Let's pray. There were people, Heavenly Father, who hated Christmas from the very beginning, the first Christmas. They hated it. They rejected it. They were angry. There are people some 2,000 years later today who still don't like it and reject it. Angry about it. And a multitude who don't know and don't care. Things haven't really changed that much from the first Christmas. The reason for this, Heavenly Father, as we understand, is because most dwell in darkness. And they're very content with their walking canes and their seeing eye dogs. They do not dare to walk by faith. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes this morning, that we might see the truth. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 46. I have come. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. It's not a cold. Just kind of hacking there. I have come into the world. Verse 46. I have come into the world. I have come as light into the world. So Jesus Christ come as light into the world. That's the Christmas morning. Purpose? That or in order that everyone, exclusion of no one, who believes in me may not remain in darkness. So what's the purpose of him becoming man? Was that we do not dwell or remain in darkness. Darkness. Not when you're in darkness, you do not know where you are. You don't know where you're going, though often you are confident that you do. And we'll see that in a few moments. Darkness is an interesting theme through John, through the Gospel of John, and through Revelation. So he uses it a lot, and I almost want to take time this morning to go through all of his references to darkness. But it's very important. To John, he carries this theme through the gospel, starting right out in chapter 1, where the light comes into the world of darkness, which we have already seen many times, several times, that this is the true Christmas story, going back to Genesis chapter 1. It would shock most of the world to know that they're living in darkness. Darkness about God, darkness about Jesus Christ, darkness about the Holy Spirit, therefore darkness about their lives. And putting it in another way, in a more sophisticated way, they're not in reality. Most people live their lives not in the realm of reality, because they are in the dark about God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and even the text, the Bible. And when you're not in the light in those areas, you're living in an unreal triangle, in an unreal world, in an unreal circumstance. You're not in reality. You're in what you are convinced is reality, but it's not. It's not reality. But you're convinced that it is reality. You're very happy, you're very content. This is very nice. Very comfortable here, but it's not reality. And it's going to crash. It would shock most of these people. And yet these same people that are there in the unreal world, in the unreal in the triangle that is not reality, they would be adamant that they are fully aware of the truth. They would be adamant that they are fully confident of all of where they are or who they are. People who walk in law, walk in any of these things, confident that they know what's going on. Those who walk by performance system, they're in darkness. Those who walk by the law, they're in darkness. But they are so convinced that they're walking in light, that they're walking in truth. Those who reject the truth of God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, they walk in darkness, but they'll be confident they're in truth. Ask any Mormon his view about Jesus Christ. It's the confidence, it's the true view. As a Muslim, their view of Christ, they're confident their view of Christ is true. It's false. They're in darkness. But they're adamant that where they are is in truth. Those who reject God and all these saints are in darkness. Yet, they would claim that they are in light. Let's take up a few points on darkness. I won't belabor the point, but I don't want to make it a 25-pointer. But let's just note a few things about this darkness that Christ came to, that we do not have to remain in. Point one, darkness is used in the Bible both literally and figuratively. When it is used figuratively, it is taken from the literal handicap of darkness. Therefore, it makes a perfect analogy for seeing things spiritually. This goes back to Genesis 1, let there be light. So, darkness is taken in a figurative sense, but even the figurative sense comes from the awareness of the real world. We all experience darkness. We all experience it. Now, with the advent of light and all of this, it's hard for us to come into a state of real darkness and physically, but it can be done. And when you're there, you just can't see anything. You're just totally handicapped by the darkness, and it's that concept of the literal darkness that falls over into the figurative darkness. Point two, when in darkness, you do not know where you're going. Look at verse 35 in chapter 12. Go back and just note verse 35, which we've already studied. Verse 35, he says, "For a little while longer the light is among you," that's Jesus Christ, "walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes." Darkness conceals all around you. These are simple things, but I want you to think about them for what we're going to do this, what we're seeing this morning. There's no power related to darkness. Power is related to light, growth of plants, growth of things. We need the light for power. There's no power in darkness whatsoever. So with darkness, there's the absence of power. Therefore, darkness, since we don't know where we're going, it's all around us, it produces in us a state of uncertainty - fear. Now, what does that do? I'm skipping a lot, just getting to the main things here. What does that do? That places us dead center in Satan's kingdom of darkness. And I want to go with that in a moment. We are in Satan's kingdom of darkness in our spiritual realm. When we are in the darkness without Christ, we are in his realm of darkness. Now, point three, again, darkness is not to be understood in terms of optical effect, except by analogy. What I want you to do here, darkness is experienced. I'm not being philosophical. This is spiritual. It is experienced. When you walk in darkness, you actually are completely encompassed by the darkness. It encompasses you. It overpowers you. It just causes you to be inactive. I don't know which way to go now. You come into a state of total darkness. Now, what happens with a blind person? All the pieces of furniture in their room, in their home, is they know right where everything is. And they have learned it's 15 steps here, 5 steps there, 3 steps there. But you let anybody come in and move anything. Or you take them just outside of their domain, outside of their home. They don't know where to go. Don't know what to do. You can't see where to go, what to do. Now, point four. In the state of being encompassed by the darkness, it hinders any movement. You do not know which way to go. It stops production. It stops you. If I turn right, I might trip. If I go straight, I might trip. If I go backward, I might trip over something. So we're literally at a standstill, and in fear, I don't know what to do. 5, in this state of darkness, we're in a state of peril. What is that? It's a sense of impending harm, impending danger from things we cannot see. I don't know if it's there, if it's here, whatever it may be. You're in a state, anything could be in your environment and you not see it and you're in danger. And that's why some of our best movies, in the dark, and it's always this poor young lady and in dark, and we know that out there is this villain that's going to get her, and we all can sense her fear and the things that are going on. Now, point 6. Right here is where Satan comes along, takes you by the hand in his kingdom of darkness and says, let me help you. Here's a cane. The cane is the law. It'll guide you. You guide you. See, people trained to walk. There's a curb here. That's the law. Let me give you a cane to guide you as you walk along. It'll be the law. You just walk by the law. Oh, and the law is given by God. That's even better. I'm going to give you this cane to walk in my kingdom of darkness. So what do we do? I've never been blind and I don't ever want to be. And I thank God for my sight. Bad as it's getting. But I can just imagine grabbing that cane. And there it is. That cane is guiding you. You're walking down the street. You do this. And you're walking along. Uh-oh, curb. Uh-oh, an obstacle. Without that cane, I don't walk. That cane, I'm depending everything on that cane. I'm walking down with that cane. That's what Satan does. He gives you the law. It's going to guide you through the darkness so that you can walk. Not everybody wants a cane. Some people want to see an eye dog. So he says, okay, I've got a seeing-eye dog for you. It's called religion. Religion will guide you. Religion will tell you where to go, what to do, and what not to do. So some people do like this. They grab hold of that, and that dog is their life, people. And you know it, and I know it. That dog is their confidence, their life. They can go into the store. They can go places. As long as they've got that grip on that CNI dog and trusting that dog, depending on that dog is everything to guide them, take them, stop, the dog stops, I stop, the dog goes, everything depends on that dog. My whole movement depends on that dog. And what's that dog that Satan's offered us in his kingdom of darkness? Religion. Religion will guide you. Religion will tell you everything you need to know to move in life. Where to go and where not to go. What to do. What to think. What not to think. We're going to tell you. And I've been taught by preachers that way. I'll tell you what to think. Tell you what to do. Depend on that religion. Depend on that movement. And boy, without it, I wouldn't know what to think. Without it, I wouldn't know what to do. But I got religion to guide me in this dark world. Some people don't want a cane. Some people don't want a dog. Satan's got something else. Lean on people. Trust people to guide you. Lean on people to support you. Let me take you by the hand, guide you here and guide you there. Totally dependent on whose hand you take. Totally dependent. That they're going to take you to safe places. So you lean on people. What do? You trust in people. Trust in the cane. trust in the dog, religion, trust in people to guide you. There are others. Now, there are probably going to be more. I'm just going to finish with one more. There are another. Not a cane, not a dog, not people, but their own philosophy. He offers different philosophies to guide you in the darkness. And it starts out with, and I love this one, you're not in darkness. Darkness is an illusion. And so what you have to do is just, you do everything by your own thinking. Depend on yourself. Don't depend on a cane or a dog or people. You're smart. You're intelligent. You just depend on yourself in this. So, all of these things are going on. And I guess there is one other group we could talk about. They're so convinced that darkness is all there is, so live in the lawless life. There is no tomorrow. So we have that group. Now, all of these, no matter which one you choose to be led by, listen now, they become reality to you. If it's the cane, that's reality. This cane will let me know if anything's in my way, and it will guide me. The law will guide me. The law becomes reality. The dog, religion, that is my reality. That is reality. That is what is true as far as I'm concerned. Leaning on people, that's reality. You're confident in it. You're dependent in it. It's reality. You're dependent and you're confident in that. With the cane, with the dog, with the philosophy, with people, whatever it is you've chosen to help you in your dark state, in this dark state. Now, point seven. Then comes the light. Then comes the light. There's only one problem about it. You have to let go of what you've been depending on to lead you in the darkness. You have to let it go. And few, only few will let it go. Most people will not let the cane go. I will not let go of the law. It has just been, it's guided me. It has done me well in the darkness. And I'm not going to let go of it. Not let go of the dog. Let go of religion, their religion. Not going to do that. Not going to let go of people. Going to continue to trust people. They're not going to let go. They prefer to hold on to the dog, the cane, the arm, the philosophy, their own IQ, their own ability. They prefer to hold on to that. They not only prefer to hold on to it, they fear letting it go. They're not going to let it go. And people, they will never come to the light. They will never walk in the light. To come out of the darkness, you have to let go of whatever it is you've been holding on to in the state of darkness. And very few will do this. Most refuse to walk by what? Walk by faith in the dark world. And that's what he offers us. Light is walking by faith. Reality is a reality by faith. Faith is the battle. And where is faith? Faith is in our mind. But faith is the battle. Are you going to let go of the CNI dog, the cane, all of these other things we've looked at that Satan's offered us in his kingdom of darkness? Oh, and he makes it sound so nice. You're in a state of darkness. Let me help you. Let me cause you to become even more dependent. Dependent now on the cane. Dependent now on the dog. Dependent now on the philosophy. Dependent now on people. Dependent on the law, on performance, on religion. And when the light comes, you say no to it. I feel very comfortable here. I feel very safe here. This is the way I've been doing it all my life. And this is what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to let go. To walk in the light of Jesus Christ, you have to come out of the darkness. You have to come out of the dependency in darkness, whatever you've been dependent on. And what happens? No, it's not Jesus. It's not Jesus Christ. And so they what? Choose to remain in darkness. But they would tell you it's not darkness. No, I feel very comfortable with my cane, my dog, my philosophy, my arms, whatever, the arm of people, whatever it is, my own IQ. I feel very comfortable here. Jesus Christ is not the answer. This is the answer. This is reality. I don't need, listen, I don't need Jesus Christ to see the love of God. You see, love is the religion that guides me. Love is the dog that guides me. Love is the philosophy. It's all in that realm that we understand love, and we do not understand it. Most people are in the dark about love, though they'll tell you they understand it. No, this dog is love. Religion is love. It's my understanding of love. And that's the problem. It is your understanding of love, but it's not real. It's not reality. But you claim it is. But all it's doing is making you more handicapped. The cane keeps you handicapped. The dog keeps you handicapped. The arm keeps you handicapped, dependent on them. And they love it. Religion loves it that you're dependent on them, and it's going to do everything it can to keep you dependent on it. It's going to keep you dependent on it. I don't want to offend anybody, but it's the same thing going on right now. The drug industry must keep you dependent on drugs. They do not want you to go to anything natural and see how wonderful and what a benefit it is. No, drugs are the solution. You keep up with drugs, all you're doing is keeping it dependent. You're keeping a $1 billion business in industry going on. Billions, not billion, billions. They're not about to let you see the light. And they'll do everything they can, propaganda and everything. Why? They want you to bend. And so what do? You take the drug. This is great. It takes care of it. No, it doesn't. It makes you more dependent. God's designed the body to take care of itself in a natural way. That's an example of what we're talking about here. Religion. Oh, but religion, no, it doesn't set you free. It makes you dependent on it. The law doesn't set you free. The law makes you dependent upon it. People don't set you free. It makes you dependent on it. All these things just keep your dependence. What happens when Christ comes and says, here's the light? Galatians chapter 5 says, He sets you free. Don't go back into slavery. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to the cane and the dog and all of these things that guide you in blindness. Don't go back. Stand in that freedom. How do we do that? Continue to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. But you got to be willing to come out of the darkness. That's what we've got to do. And most will say that it is not Christ. They prefer their law. They prefer the performance. They prefer the arm of man. They prefer others, false teachers. This philosophy, that by my ability to comprehend, I can comprehend what reality is. Oh, people, no, we can't. I can comprehend what love is. No, you can't. It is so phenomenal and beyond our understanding, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. So what happens? These people will not come out of darkness. Now, verse 47. Let's take a look at verse 47. We have the offer to come out of darkness. We have a grace-loving offer to come out of darkness. An offer to give up our canes, our dogs, the arms of people, our philosophies, all these things, and come out of it. Look at verse 47 and 48. If anyone, now he came into the world, verse 46, he came into the world to lead us out of darkness. And if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. To what? Save, deliver. Deliver the world, and in context, deliver the world out of the darkness. The word to save here, zozo, can be translated to deliver. To deliver the world out of the darkness. He who rejects me does not receive my sayings, has one who judges. The word I spoke is what will judge him the last day. Now, if anyone hears my sayings, people, this is beautiful. We ended last week with this. This is the word for counsel. And I love the grace here and I love the love here. It's not a command. He does not say you have to. He says, I'm giving you some counsel. All of you who are in darkness, I got some counsel for you. Let the cane go. Let the dog go. Let the arm go that you're holding on to. Let me give you counsel. Let it go. And let me share with you what's going to happen if you let it go. You're going to see the light. And you're going to be able to see. How to walk. It's a very interesting, and I don't want to get into it this morning. If we studied Scripture, a lot of Scripture going back in the garden. Now, what happened when man ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He thought that that would turn on the light. See, man was in the light. He ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he thinks his eyes were open, but what really happened? He went into darkness. The moment he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he went into the darkness. Now you want to come out of the darkness and go back to your state of man in the garden. Come out of the darkness. See the light. How do we do that? By faith. Well, how do we do that? Respond to his counsel. You have to do this. You have to do this. Doesn't do that. Look what he says. My counsel. If anyone hears, listens, pays attention to my sayings, the word means counsel. It's a loving counsel here. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to command. Just my counsel. Here's some wisdom for you. You're in darkness. Let the CNI dog go. Let the cane go. Let law go. Let religion go. Let depending on man go. Let it go. And you'll walk in the light. You'll see the light. You'll see what's really going on. I don't need the law. I don't need this dog. I don't need the arm of people. I don't need my own arrogant IQ. Now in faith, I see. I'm in the light. And I see the truth. And the decisions I make now become truthful. So God the Father here, what is His counsel? His counsel is to believe God the Father, that He, God the Father, has sent Him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as a demonstration of His love, as the only way to be reconciled with God the Father. His counsel, His expressed will, is in effect, come out of the darkness. Come on out. But I'm not going to let go. I cannot let go. And multitude of people do that all through life. They will not let go to really enjoy life. And it really is a shame. They're held in bondage. They're blind. They're in darkness. And they won't let go and enjoy life. Now, if anyone hears my counsel, now we have, and does not keep them. This time we have the aorist active subjunctive of the verb philosso. This word, to keep, look at the word, and does not keep them, it's a military term. From the classical Greek, it basically is a command field word. In the military, it means to watch, as watching a post. If you're in the military, you had to watch a post. To watch as to protect. A sentry posting a guard walks to protect. And he's got to be alert all the time. I remember one guy was in the military and caught asleep. And he tried to convince his officer that caught him that he was praying. And you can try a lot of different things, but he was indeed sleeping. But you got to stay a watch. Guard, this is your responsibility. If you don't stay alert, how many movies have we seen where the guard either didn't pay attention to a movement of noise or was over here doing something else, distracted or asleep? Or what I like is it's always the distraction. And a great distraction is always this beautiful woman over here. Hey, soldier. And so he's looking over here, and here comes James Bond and everybody else, the military, just walking by in full force while he's over here. See? Watch. Don't be distracted. Don't fall asleep. watch and listen. That's what this word means, to keep them. It means to keep them safe. To watch is to protect, to guard, to defend, to keep safe. While it does mean to do them and to obey them, it adds the meaning of valuing them. Here it means to view something as valuable, something that is your own, to be a part of who and what you are. That's what the word means. People, if you're in there to guard, for an example, you're guarding the ammo dump. This is valuable. This is yours. You lose that and you have no power over the enemy. That's what this word means. It means to keep, to guard. It means to obey, but it adds, the reason it's translated to keep them, and rather than just obey, it carries the idea of valuing them. They become part of who and what you are. The aorist tense, a point in time. What is that? Faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the King James translates this believes. Subjunctive. Recognize why, if you have a King James, that's why you have the word believes there. And believes them, if you have the King James. How can they do that, or why do they do that? Because that's the idea here of the point in time of plesseo. It does. It's not the word pistuo, faith. It's not really translated believe. It should be translated to keep, to guard, to obey, something in that respect. But the King James translates it belief because that's how you guard. That's how you keep it, is by faith. So I have no problem with the word believing, translation of believing there. Subjunctive mood, here again, the grace of God and the love of God. It recognizes the freedom of your faith, the freedom to believe or not believe. Some will let go of their cane. Some will let go of their CNI dog. Some will let go of their arm that they're holding on to. Their philosophies and all, but most will not. Few in history have the boldness just to let go and believe him and trust him. Walking by faith requires a rare breed. Somebody that would just dare to let that cane go. Dare to let that dog go. Many people in life won't let their parents, they hold on to their parents. Hold on to depending on their parents and all this type of thing and let go. Find out what's out there for you. Let go of the law. Let go of religion. Let go of the things that keep you in bondage. Just let go. Yeah, boy, that's pretty dangerous. No, it isn't. It's what the boldness of walking by faith is, people. You walk by faith. And you trust Him. I'm going to trust Him to lead me in darkness. And that's what walking by faith is. That's why it starts out. The first thing we have to do to come into it is by faith. But then to keep on walking, it's by faith. What happens to a lot of people? What happens? There are a few people who will let go and believe in Christ. But then what happens? There are even fewer who dare to keep on walking by faith. They go back to holding on to something. Confession. Repentance. Some kind of CNI dog, some kind of a cane to guide me now that I'm a Christian. Hey people, you let go. You have the boldness to let go by faith. Live by faith. Walk by faith. Stay in that light. Just trust Him. Don't hold on to things that enslave you, to man, to law, to religion, to philosophies. Just walk by that faith. It's pretty bold. I don't know if I can do that. I like holding on to this. I like holding on to something that's a little certainty. No, let go. Let go. Walk in that kind of light. So many people, I could use so many examples in the world that we live in, the secular world, as illustrations. A lot of people won't marry. They don't want to let go. They're afraid. A lot of people won't do these different things in life. They're afraid. So they hold on in the darkness. So one thing about freedom. Why hasn't capitalistic freedom, laissez-faire capitalism, caught on? If it's such a big deal, as some of us like to think it is, well, why hasn't it just engulfed the whole world? This is laissez-faire capitalism. That's the way. Why hasn't it? Why has socialism it just outdone laissez-faire capitalism. Why has socialism come in and taken over where laissez-faire capitalism once existed, even in our own country? Because laissez-faire capitalism is dangerous. It's freedom. No guarantees. Socialism? Somebody's going to take care of you from the womb to the grave. That's comfortable. That's comfort in the darkness. Same thing is true spiritually, people. Same thing is true spiritually. Just easier to hold on to things rather than let them go. But we have to let go to walk. So we guard and protect. So the arrow's point of time is believing. Subjunctive is move. Maybe you will, maybe you will not. Now what happens to those who refuse to heed the message of Jesus Christ? I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. I do not judge him. Let's stop for a moment. And note the negative use here. We got a little something really nice for our church here in a moment. So in a moment we'll be doing this, Larry. But let's just look at the negative a moment. It's been a while since we've looked at negatives. In one short verse, we have two negatives. Look at your verse. We have two different Greek negatives here. First, if anyone hears my counsel, my words, and does not keep them. Here Jesus Christ uses the Greek negative, me. Looks like this in the Greek, that's M-E. That's translated, not. Okay? In one verse you're going to get a little fun here. Then look what it says. I do not judge him. Okay, now he says do not judge. This is O-U, Sam. And this is not judge. So, the first time, he says, anyone who does not keep them, so we'll put here not keep, and here not judge, different words for not though. Okay, what's going on? May, not keep them, may, and I'm trying to take something and just make it very simple for us to understand, may is used here for negative of thought. Ooh denies, in fact. Ooh down here denies, he denies that he judges, while may up here simply rejects. When someone thinks that something is not, that is not reality, may is used. It is subjective, involving the will, the thought. So let's look at our passage. If anyone hears my counsel, that's what the word says, it means counsel, his words, counsel, and does not keep them, which means they reject them. They reject his counsel. That's his may. They reject his counsel. It's not true. His counsel is not true. I reject it. Then Jesus says, I do not judge him. Using ooh. He denies that he's a judge. He just simply, the second part, he denies that he's a judge. Up here, they rejected his truth. They reject his sayings. It's truth. They're not going to keep them. I'm not going to walk by faith. I'm not just going to believe in him. I'm saved by doing the law. My C&I dog will show me how to be saved. My cane will take me to salvation. Somebody's arm I'm holding on to, false teachers. All these things will do it. So up here, denial is reality. Down here, he's simply what? He denies the fact that he came as judge. He's not going to come as the judge. And the word to judge here is reference to final judgment on the last day, and we'll study that. And it is, he says, I don't come to do it. What is the important thing here, people, is interesting because, after all, if we think about this, and the simple fact is that God is the one they're rejecting, not Jesus Christ. God sent Christ. God told Christ what to say. So if you reject the counsel of Christ, what are you doing? You're rejecting the counsel of God. All who reject Jesus Christ reject God the Father. And therefore the judgment's going to be from somewhere else, not Jesus Christ. I've come to deliver. I've come to bring you the light. I've come to give you the counsel to come out of darkness. If you don't want it, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not here out here telling everybody what to do, giving commands, all that. I'm giving you counsel. God sent me to bring you out of darkness into light. Listen to my words, believe in me, and you'll come out of darkness. I'm not angry if you don't. It's up to you. I'm not even going to judge you. See, a lot of people get very angry. I used to know people get very angry if you didn't believe them. They didn't do what they said, didn't think the way they thought. Get very angry. I used to be taught that way, and maybe even taught that way, shamefully. But that's not the way Christ came. Christ came and said, I got some counsel. You're in the darkness, let the cane go, let the dog go, let the arm go, let it go. Believe in me. Come into the light. Walk by light, walk in the spirit that I'm going to send you. That's my counsel. If you don't do it, I'm not going to fall apart. I'm not just going to sit down and cry. Why don't you want to believe in me? I'm not going to become an angry tyrant and start beating you over the head, judging you. But that doesn't mean you're not going to be judged. But I'm not going to do it. I've come to bring you into the light, not to judge you. And this is why we have Christmas. This is what he came to do. And we will resume at this point and 2 weeks from now and just get back to it. But this morning, Larry, we have something else. I thought people were going to come in. They're going out. Some of you might know why they're coming in, Cliff. Becker's come and worship with us. And when I was in Kansas City, I went with Cliff and Wendy, and they have five children. And their little six-year-old daughter was in a singing thing. And it was just so much fun watching all the five, I mean, six-year-olds, and some of them would stand up there picking their nose, and others just were. There was one guy, he was oblivious to everything before. He was just looking around the whole time. He was not aware of anything. Others standing like this, scared to death. It was so much fun watching different personalities. Okay. Hey, come here, honey. Come here, baby. Come here. There we go. Look out here.